Well, I wanted to give us just a little bit of a thought to focus this in around Christmas. And actually, I want to do this through giving you about three questions that will help us focus in to what Christmas is all about. Because it's important, I think, if we're going to launch off into Christmas, that we circle around these. And so here's your first question for you. And it goes like this. If you were a good God, what would you do if you could create a world? Okay? If you were a good God and you had the ability to create a world, what would you do? Because I think that's what our God did, but I want you to think about it for you for a second. What would you do? And I think some of the answer to this is this right here, and that is that you'd fill it with amazing things. You take your world and you're like, I'm a good God. I want whatever's going on in this world, I want it to be great. I want it to be amazing things. And so you'd fill it with amazing things. And as we were talking about this, and I was thinking about this leading up to this afternoon, I thought about, okay, you know, if I start, I want to give a couple of examples of amazing things. And so I just said, okay, at this point in my life, knock out your top four amazing things. What are they? And like the first four things that came to my head are these, that I'm excited that God created these things to put into our world, right? This is what I believe. First one is this. This is music. This is Joshua Tree, U2, Joshua Tree. Yeah, there you go. One of the greatest albums of all time. I just love that God created music because I think he could create a world. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to bother with music. But he created a world that has music in it. And I love that. It's one of my favorite things. It's one of the most amazing things. It makes a huge impact on my life. By the way, this is an album for those of you that are young. You're going to need to ask your grandparents about this. It's like a big CD, which you're going to have to ask your parents about what that is. But music, okay? So that was one of them. See if this registers at all. In these days, I love college football. I love that God created college football, right? Depending on who your team is, I'm a Yellow Jacket and a Vol, and so we're all right. I know the dogs in the room. The dogs in the room are super excited. There you go. Yeah, we needed to bark today, so that's good. So the dogs are still loving this, but I love that God said, you know what, world, I'm going to give you college football, and I'm going to let you have it. It's just for your enjoyment. And so I love that God created college football, right? Here's another one. This is a little bit more timely for this time of year. I love that God created these things right here. Does anybody know what these are? Yeah. Yeah, shout out, testify if you know what they are. These are Little Debbie Christmas tree cakes. And I get it, people are like, no, they're available all year round. No, they hit different when they're Christmas trees. They do. And so they're hard to find. I've got a box. I'm willing to meet you after the service for a price. I'll sell them. But I love these. I love that we have Christmas tree cakes. My fourth one, I was like, this one's a pretty obvious one for me, but I was a little bit hesitant because I was like, you never know how this is going to go. But I love the fact that God created a world that has dogs in it. We love our dog. And so I was like, I'm showing this off. So you know what? I thought, you know what I'm going to do? Let's go ahead. Let me show you who our dog is. So come here, Moose. Moose, come here. This is Moose. Here you go, buddy. Sit. Will you settle? Good for you. Settle right there. There you go. Good boy. This is Moose. Moose is our 3-year-old black lab. He's a good boy. And Moose brings us so much joy in our life. You know, it's amazing how much he impacts our family, how much we talk about him, how much of our photo feed is just us sending Moose pictures back and forth. But I love the fact that God created a world that has dogs in it, right? It has pets in it. I went on record a few sermons ago and mentioned that I'm not a cat person because I don't think you can trust them. I don't think they're trustworthy creatures. But I'm excited for you if you love cats. And I love that we have a God that's like, you know what, I'll do cats as well. I'll do cats and gerbils and hermit crabs. I just want everybody to have them. And so I just love that we have a world that has pets in it, right? Isn't that amazing? Moose, thank you. Moose, you're good to go. You can go. Goodbye. Good job. There you go. Yeah, after it's all done, you're like, oh, the dog was amazing. You know, the pastor was okay, but the dog was amazing. You know, that's fine. I get that. Don't ever work with animals. They'll always upstage you. But I love all this, okay? And so I love all this, but honestly, to get a little bit more serious, I love that God created a world that has relationships in it. I love that he created a world that we could have all just been robots or puppets or whatever down here. But he's like, you know what? I'm going to create a world that actually people connect with one another. And I'm going to create things called families and neighborhoods and cities and opportunities for people to connect with each other. And I'm going to give them personalities and gifts and unique things, which a lot of you guys are going to experience those over the next couple of days as your family gathers. And so I just love that God gave us people. I love that he gave us this church. I love him that I get to meet all of you guys every week. And it's just so much fun. And so that leads us to the second question that I want us to talk about, because I think we're going somewhere with this. And this is it. If you were a good God, what would you do if your perfect world became not so perfect? Well, I think this is an important question because this is what happens. If you believe the Christian message, this is what happened to us, is God created this perfect world. And due to some decisions that mankind made and were able to make because God gave them the ability to have free will and freedom to make their own decisions, made some decisions that broke the perfect world. It broke a perfect world, and imperfection came into the world because man wanted to know what that was all about. And we ended up in this world that wasn't so perfect anymore. And so it begs the question, like, if you were a good God, what would you do if your perfect world became not so perfect? And I think it leads to this answer right here, and that's you'd make a plan to fix it. That you're like, you know what, I'm not giving up. I'm a good God. I created a perfect world, and I have these people in it that I love, and I'm not going to give up on it. So I'm going to make a plan to fix this, and because this is what God did as well. This is part of the message that we circle around every week here, and that is that God created a perfect world that was broken, but he also created a plan to fix it. He made a plan, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a way for you to know me again as God. I'm going to allow us to have a relationship again, but also, too, I'm going to give you an opportunity to, at some point down the road, after you've lived a life here, have access to a perfect world again. This is what he did, and he said, I'm going to do this by sending you a solution. And he was a little bit vague about what that solution was going to be. And through the years, thousands of years ago, people started putting names around what this might be. It might be a savior. God's going to send us a savior. He's going to send us a Messiah, which is a Hebrew word that means anointed one. An anointed one is just means that, hey, we believe that God is going to send us a Messiah and a solution that's going to be this anointed one that God commissioned to come and be the solution for us. But he also said, I'm going to send you this solution. I'm also going to make this solution also to be a guide and an encourager for you as you navigate this imperfect world. It's going to be a solution, but it's also going to help you until you can get to the perfect world that I've created for you and given you access to again. And so it led the people, as you can imagine, thousands and thousands of years ago that knew all of this narrative, knew all of this story, this storyline that God had been putting out for them. It led these people to start to ask these questions, but how is he going to do this? I know he said there's a solution and this encourager that's going to come, but how is he going to do this? And there was a lot of speculation around people. For generations and generations, people thought, well, maybe God's going to send this great warrior that's going to come down, or this great king, or this great ruler, or this great military general. And all these people were kind of every generation looking for the solution, the Messiah, the savior that was going to come, and wondering how God would do that. And even before that, God had given them way back before our New Testament starts, before what we follow as Jesus followers, God had given them an insight and dropped some hints about the way it was going to kind of go down. And they were a little bit cryptic and it was a little bit vague, but there were things like in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7 says this, way back in the Old Testament. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And so there's a lot in this and there's some details in here I'm going to let you navigate as a family on your own time. But there's a part I wanted to point out for you, and that is that this word Emmanuel. Because this would have been the thing that as people that understood or watched God would have gone like, wait, what? Emmanuel? For them, Emmanuel wasn't a name. Emmanuel was a title. It was a description. And for them, this is what would have given them pause. Because they're like, okay, you're telling us this solution, this guy, this encourager is going to come, and you're going to call him Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God with us. Wait, what? God's coming to be with us? That would have thrown them off. Because they knew that God had come near before. They had experienced what that's like. God had blown in before, big voice from the sky, and all through the Old Testament, God shows up and comes near and people freak out. And you know, it's like, it's hard. It's hard to connect with your creator. But they had experienced what God was like when it was come near. But he had never come to live with them. God with them, Emmanuel. And that would have made them pause and wonder why God would choose to do such a thing. But if you think about it, it makes sense. It makes sense why God would do that. Because the last question is this. If you were a good God, what would you do to make sure that your promise came true? If you were a good God and you're like, hey, I'm creating a solution and I want to make sure this comes true, what would you do? You'd do the same that I would do, and that is this, is that you would show up in person and make sure it was done. This is what a good God would do. And God said, I'm not only going to send you the solution, I'm going to come down and be the solution, Emmanuel, God with us in person. And that's what he did. We believe that God put on a body in the person of Jesus Christ, and he came into our world, and he lived a life with the people 2,000 years ago, and he was with them. And he had a personality, and he walked around with people, and he ate, and he hung out, and he laughed, and he experienced what it was like to be in this world. And he did this, and he lived a life that was perfect, and he solved the problem of sin for us. But this is the gospel message for us. This is the Christmas message for us, and it's the good news for us if you ever hear people talk about that. This is what that we believe that God came and truly came and caused a solution that would give us new life. And in doing so, God also, too, showed us what he was like. He became fully known to who we are. And why would God do this? because he knew the same thing that everybody else knew. And because it's one thing to know about someone, but it's something entirely different to meet them. You can know a lot about somebody, or I could stand up here and describe somebody to you, but it's a whole different thing if you actually get to meet them. And God knew that was a trait of the human race. But he said, hey, you know what? If I'm mysterious to my people, I want to become, and I want it to be fully known by them as well. Because it's hard, because you can know about someone, but never really know them. Like I could tell you about my friends. I could describe friends to you, and you would listen and you would understand. Like I could tell you about my friend, Megan. Megan is my friend. I've known Megan for a couple years now. She's an amazing woman. She's got this cool hair. She's got this cool accent. She's incredibly kind. She's a great mom. I could tell you all this stuff about Megan. But for you, you might go like, I kind of get it, but it feels a little bit incomplete. I could tell you about my buddy, Seth. My buddy, Seth's in fourth grade. He loves sports. He loves the Savannah Bananas. He's really good at baseball. He's really good at football. He can throw any ball back and forth what you want to. He just loves all the sports. But he's also really kind. He's really smart. He's really well-spoken for a fourth grader. I could tell you about them all day long. But until you met Megan and Seth, you would feel like this really kind of feels incomplete, right? It feels lacking in something. It feels different than truly being with them. Because that's something we all feel. There's always some sort of barrier that we feel unless we can meet somebody in person. And God felt this very same way. And God knew that we felt that way. Because up to then, people knew a lot about God. Up until the solution came, the Messiah came, a lot of people knew about God, right? They worshiped him, they talked about him, they preached about him, they sang about him, they did all the things, right? But it was hard for them to know, truly know what God was like. How do you know what the creator of the universe is like? That's really hard to do. And instead of being somebody that's like, well, just try to guess or just try to be good enough to find your way to me or whatever else, God said, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna fulfill that promise. And God came in the most unique of ways at Christmas time. And he came in ways that surprised people. Not as a great military general or somebody that came onto the scene in huge ways. But he came in a way that was unique. And it's chronicled for us in what's called the gospel books. It's the beginning of your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four people followed Jesus. I love the way Matthew describes this. He wrote it all down for us so that we generations could know how God put on a body and showed up. And to read it to you, I want you to hear it again. And if you grew up in church, you've probably heard this narrative out of Matthew 4, but I want you to read it again because it's so incredibly unique. But to do that, instead of me reading it to you, I want you to meet two friends of mine. I want you to meet Megan, and I want you to meet Seth. And so you guys get it up for Megan and Seth. Come on up here. And part of the reason I do this is I want you to see how different it feels to actually see someone versus just being described to someone. Because see how different that feels? Because again, it's one thing to know about somebody than it is to meet them in person. And this is why God came to us to fully paint a picture of who he was. And he came in the most unique of ways. And to read this to us tonight, I would love for Megan and Seth to tell you how it happened.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Thank you. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Megan. I love that phrase from the shepherds. I would love to borrow that for us for the rest of the service. let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem and see what this thing's all about. You know, here are these guys that are out in a field and they're the most unclean physically. They're on the most unclean ceremonially in the religion of the day. That are thinking, we're the farthest away from somebody that God would ever show up to or accept or want to be around. But the angels say, go check him out. Come, see what this is all about. And since then, billions of people around the world have done this over the last couple of centuries. As God has come into the world, and over the last couple of millennia, people have come around, and again and again and again, people, billions of people have come to figure out who this Jesus is and to check him out and to see what he's all about, and through the churches and to read their scriptures and talking to their friends, God's unique ways to draw people to him as well. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Just so we're entirely clear, this is what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate this. We celebrate the fact that God came to be with us to show us what he's like. Because God says, I want you to know that I'm a good God and I want you to see what I'm like, and I'm gonna put on a body and come down and I'm gonna love on people that the world doesn't love. And I'm gonna come and I'm gonna break through the religious structures, and I'm gonna come into the world and accept people and not make people work toward me. I'm just gonna give them my love by a gift of grace and as a present to you that you don't earn, but you can just have it. I'm just gonna come and be that God. And I wanna come into the world and show you what I'm like, but also too, God came into the world to offer us a new life. A new life that we have a guide or a guidance and a counselor and an encourager in this life as we navigate this life that still isn't perfect until we can get to our perfect one. This is what God calls us to. This is what he wants to do in our lives. And I'd love for you to invite you into some of those steps, maybe of the shepherd as well, to maybe over the next couple of days or in this next season of your life, to be somebody that comes to see this thing that's happened. And let Christmas not just come and go again, but it really be a marker for you to say, you know what, I want to actually see what this thing is that God did. And actually run that for down. For some of you guys, this is going to be maybe a return back to, a call to remember back to how you came to call yourself a follower of Jesus. For some of you, it might mean to remember back and to remember how God has been with you through your life or even just this year, and to slow down a little bit of the chaos of life and to remember like, wow, gosh, I actually have been guided well and blessed well by my fellowship of Jesus. For some of you, it's a call to remember maybe a little bit more of an intentional step in to come and see what this is all about. For some of you, it might have been, your storyline might be, hey, I've been so distracted in my life by churches that didn't do the right thing, or pastors that didn't do the right thing, or somebody in my life that was called themselves a Jesus follower and acted so unlike Jesus that I'm like, if that's what you're all about, then I'm out. And maybe if that's part of your story, maybe this is the season for you to push that stuff aside and actually pursue, what is it like to discover who Jesus really is? Because you can know a lot about someone, but it all changes when you start to truly meet them. It's another thing to know them well and to invite them into your world and to be somebody that says, I actually want to give you access to my worries and my fears and my insecurities and what's happened in my life and what I've done and what's been done to me. To push all that across the table and say, if you are the God that you say that you are and you are the God that Jesus personifies, then here I am. For other you in the world, you might not be up for that yet. You might just be like, hey, I just don't know. I've got a long way to go before I can even get there. And that's perfectly fine. You're on a journey. But maybe the intentionality for you in this season might just be to be somebody that just starts asking people questions that call themselves Jesus followers and go like, hey, you follow this Jesus. Tell me why you follow Jesus. Tell me why you believe. And that's not accusatory. That's just you asking questions because you deserve that. And I believe even in that, God can start to put real life and real stories on your life.